glad you're here. I'm glad I'm here. And I want to thank Duane for that beautiful introduction. Several months ago, I get asked to talk to a lot of visiting groups here, and several months ago, a group of ladies from a parish were here visiting, many of them for the first time, and I was asked to talk to them for an hour about St. Meinrad and monasticism, and I introduced myself, and I said, I am Brother Zachary. I am a monk of St. Meinrad Archabbey. I live here. I will die here. I will be buried here, emphasizing the vow of stability. And you may have noticed our cemetery is pushing up against the walls a little bit. Well, this woman raised her hand, and I said, yes. And she said, I've seen your cemetery, you better hurry up. And thankfully, our cemetery is getting ready to expand. And I say thankfully because you all contribute so much to this place, and I almost take this as a joke, but it's true. We are on a continuous word of improvement at St. Meinrad. If you have a chance to look at St. Anselm Hall, which has just recently been reopened after a year of renovation, and the library looks great, and now the cemetery is going to have room for me. It's all good news. So I want to start this. The title of this presentation is The Grace of Gratitude. That's enough to say about that, because I want to start with a story about myself. And this story concerns a day when I was 13 years old. That would have been 1965. I think I was going into eighth grade that next school year. And I had been in Catholic school all through the early grades with the Franciscan Sisters of Dubuque, and every day religion class, and almost every day mass. And we talked a lot about loving God and loving Jesus and God's love for us, and we sang about it and we talked about it. And I'll tell you the truth. Well, I liked and enjoyed religion. I did. I enjoyed it. We had a beautiful big church with the three altars at the front and votive lights and paintings and all kinds of things. And our pastor had kind of an operatic sense of liturgy. There was lots of marching around in shiny vestments and swinging incense and lamps and things. I liked that atmosphere. I think maybe I liked it mostly for the sense of theater that it gave us. But I have to say that loving God, I heard it. I said, yes, sister. But I can't say that it was something I really experienced, even while enjoying the outward trappings of religion. So, this particular summer day, I go for a bike ride. It is a beautiful day. It's a clear blue sky, there's a few white clouds, the temperature is moderate, and I do live riding a bike. So I ride to Eagle Point Park. It's a huge park on the limestone bluffs 300 feet above the Mississippi River. A forest of oak, maple, and evergreen trees. Now I'll tell you about Eagle Point Park. My mother loved it. Many years later, when I was living in Seattle and my mother came out to visit me and I took her down to the shores, the vast west shores of Lake Washington and pointed out Mount Rainier, the snow-covered volcanic mountain that dominates the view to the south. And she said, "Well, this is nice, but you can't beat Eagle Point Park." So it was pretty nice. It was pretty good. Big forest out there, oak, maple, and evergreens. So I ran through that beautiful sunny afternoon through pools of shade and sunlight, just glad to be alive, glad to be free. Now, at a certain point, after I kind of made a circuit of the park, I pulled off on the road to this overlook place and sat down against a tree, and I just looked out to that view, that sky, that mile-wide river lined with green hills and stone bluffs. Oh, this is a sight I had seen many times before, had looked at many times before. And today it was different. Suddenly, within me was a sense of all of this as a gift to me. I didn't ask for this. It was just given to me. I had a sense of some enormous generosity that had generated all of this and placed it in my lap on this beautiful afternoon. I felt what I mostly describe as a sort of elation, kind of like air filling me up. I was delighted with what I was seeing, all at once together. I had a sense of being loved and loving. I must be loved by the giver, and I sure love the giver. I stayed like that there for maybe half an hour. And then I got back on my bike and I went home. But I went home changed. Because now, after several years of daily religion class and priests and nuns talking about God's love, for the first time in my life, I felt like I knew what that was. I knew, now I get what they're talking about. And really, there were no words for it. It's taken years for me to find words for this. But suddenly, I lived in a world of gift. And part of the gift was that I could recognize the gift and acknowledge the giver. My heart was filled. I had experienced conversion. Now, this was different from knowing the right answers in catechism class, oh, that's good, or being an impeccable mass server, and I was very good at that. This was not an intellectual or even an aesthetic thing. This was in the heart. My 13-year-old heart had moved just a little bit from a heart of stone to a heart of flesh. By and I had a conversion. I think of this as a real conversion. I was far from being a teenage saint, but it was a beginning. I'm still working on it. Now, gratitude is at the heart of this gathering today. We monks and the co-workers of St. Raynard are grateful to you for your friendship and support. St. Raynard is a wonderful place, but it would not be so wonderful without you. We are all in this together. Now, the story that I started out with is meant to show how gratitude can change a person. I think it changed me. I think it could change the world. Dorothy Day said, "Beauty can save the world." I've thought about that a lot, and I wonder what she meant by it. Dorothy Day was a very devout Catholic, and she says, beauty can save the world. And I thought, well, shouldn't she say Jesus can save the world or God can save the world? But she says, beauty can save the world. And I think that beauty can save the world if we see the beauty, if we see the beauty around us, if we really see it. Now, just as hearing is not the same thing as listening, hearing is not the same thing as paying attention, seeing, or I should say looking, is not the same thing as seeing. Okay? Seeing is to pay attention. Seeing is to pick up the cues and the details. And I think if we do that, if we really saw the gift around us, I think that would change the world, because I think it would really lead us to try to figure out who the giver is. I mean, I will be honest with you, there are times when I think, you know, sometimes I think I believe in God because I need somebody to be grateful to. Where did it all come from? Where does the gift come from? Now, so I think that if we look and listen and see and use our senses to pay attention to what is around us, and very often maybe see the thing for the first time, I think that has a great spiritual impact on us. So gratitude, and we're talking about the grace of gratitude. So there is a kind of experience that leads to gratitude, and I've described that. Another nice thing about giving this talk today and being here today is that the annual Feast of Thanksgiving is just around the corner on November 3rd, less than a month away. Now, I was not thinking about that coincidence when I chose this topic, but I think it's a happy coincidence. Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. I love the food. I will never understand people who don't like turkey, and I know they're out there. I love stuffing. I love gravy. I love cranberries. I love the crowning glory of Thanksgiving. Green bean casserole made with canned mushroom soup and canned fried onions. And I love pumpkin pie. I'm flexible. I love mashed potatoes, but I don't fuss if they're not served this year. I also love Thanksgiving because, compared to some other holidays, it is so easy. I mean, compared to Christmas, there's not a lot of the hubbub connected with that. You get together with family or friends. You do shop for food. And I love preparing a Thanksgiving dinner. Or you can go with potluck. Everybody comes together in a good mood. You eat. You drink wine, maybe. You feel good. Between the wine and the tryptophan and the turkey and the carbohydrates, you may need a nap. I recall Thanksgiving in my childhood, and we used to invite single friends to our house in the living room. Kind of looked, well, it looked a little bit like a flop house after dinner. Until then, we kind of slept it off, and then we all went out for a walk together when the drowsiness had worn off. But it's about friends, family, food, and fun. It's not about agonizing, shopping, decorating, too many parties. And then for us Christians, there is, Brother James and I sometimes remark to each other, There's no complicated liturgy for Thanksgiving. You don't have to do midnight mass or the Easter vigil. Now, I love those things, but Thanksgiving is easier. And in my days working out in the world, and we used to have Thanksgiving potlucks and all kinds of things, and I used to think, it's really an interfaith holiday. You can even have Thanksgiving with your atheist friends, because you can just thank each other. And so I'm very big on Thanksgiving and how inclusive it is, really. Now, so I love Thanksgiving Day. I'm thankful for Thanksgiving Day. But I think that for us people of faith, we need to realize that Thanksgiving is, I think, it's not too much to say it's at the very heart of our faith. And I say this because every Mass that we celebrate is a celebration of Thanksgiving. The Mass is called the Liturgy of the Eucharist. Well, at least the second part. First part is Liturgy of the Word, and then Liturgy of the Eucharist. Eucharist being based on a Greek word that means thanksgiving. The Liturgy of Thanksgiving. Now, the Church teaches us that the Mass is the source and summit of the Christian life. Well, the Liturgy of Thanksgiving is the source and summit of the Christian life. Again, I think that's not too much to say. Thanksgiving is at the center of our faith, and Thanksgiving is all about being grateful. Now, I did prison ministry for many, many years, and I have taught lots of people about the Mass because we would prepare guys, honestly, had a formation program for guys who got baptized over the years and had quite a few of those, really. And I have taught them and taught them and taught them, Eucharist, it means Thanksgiving. The Mass is a Thanksgiving. And I will tell you, it dawned on me one day. I said, you know, where do you really see that in the text of the Mass? Oh, smart, you have a Master of Divinity degree and you're not exactly sure. Well, of course, I went to the text of the Mass and there it is standing out like it's lit up. The specific part of the Mass in which we are encouraged to be grateful, to offer thanksgiving, is the preface. It is becoming one of my favorite parts of the Mass. I really try to listen to it every time I go to Mass. And here's how every preface that the priest offers at the beginning of the liturgy of the Eucharistic prayer, it goes, it is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. It is our duty to give you thanks. And then it goes on to give a brief explanation of why we should be grateful for God's saving grace. And this usually recalls in some way the incarnation and life and sacrifice of Jesus. There are 156 prefaces that priests may use at Mass. And there is a website called Catholic Doors on which you can read them. I suggest this as a wonderful preparation for participating in the Mass. Our prayer is often all about asking, and I wonder sometimes how often it is about thanksgiving. I think it would be good for us to carry it further in that direction of thanksgiving. Another thing about this is we're in the middle of a Eucharistic renewal in this country, which culminates with this big Eucharistic celebration in Indianapolis where they're expecting tens of thousands of people this summer. And I ask us, if it's a Eucharistic renewal, can it not be a renewal of gratitude? Can we not think about our celebration of the Eucharist becoming a celebration of gratitude, of our gratitude to God? We are a people whose faith is centered on a sacrament of giving thanks, on being grateful. So gratitude, then, is an important part of our spirituality. Philosophers and theologians speak of gratitude as a virtue, that is, as a habit and attitude that leads us to the good. We usually speak of practicing a virtue, which means it is about doing. And that might seem strange to us, if we think about gratitude mostly as a feeling, or we might ask, well, does that mean we should write thank you notes to everybody? No, not necessarily, but it does mean that we need to put ourselves in a place to experience gratitude, and that means we need to pay attention. We might think of gratitude as, you know, the feeling we get when someone surprises us with a special gift or a surprise visit. It's a response to something we didn't expect, which is true, because gratitude has a lot to do with gifts that we have not deserved, we have not had to earn, they are freely given. We might think of it as our response to exceptionally good news. That's part of it. But it does not have to be something that just happens to us. Oh, surprise, oh, thank you. It is something which we can learn and should learn to practice, to cultivate. It is about doing as much as it is about feeling. And I'm going to wind that up for now. This afternoon, we're going to talk about doing gratitude, practicing gratitude. I believe that the next thing on the, it is now almost 10 minutes to 11, and there is an opportunity for the Sacrament of Reconciliation with several of our priests hearing confessions. So if we break up now, it gives you time to get to the place and examine your conscience. Not that that will take you that long. And so I'll see you this afternoon.